The scripture reading today comes from the opening verses of the opening chapter, the opening book of scripture, Genesis chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. There was evening, and there was morning, one day. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. My son Jordan was pretty young when he was introduced to amusement park rides. With a lot of reassurance, he reluctantly ventured onto a log flume for the first time. He was not necessarily afraid of water, yet he was pretty unsettled by the people getting off of the ride who were soaking wet. It was pointed out that being splashed on such a hot day may feel good, and it could be a lot of fun. He decided to try it. Well, you know what happened. He did get wet, very wet, and he didn't enjoy it. He was as mad as a wet hen. He got off the ride, ran out the exit, stood, arms crossed, sulking, beside the fence surrounding the log flume. He refused to talk to anyone who might have been in on the plot to splash him. He refused to move, even when he was warned that he was standing in the splash zone. Sure enough, no sooner had he stomped his feet in the puddles where he was standing, the next log came down the flume and soaked him again. It's a wonder that we ever got him over the trauma enough to ride home with us, much less ever try another water ride. But over time, he found courage and discovered there was no need to avoid water rides. They could be fun. Splash zones weren't that bad. Do you have a fear of water? Many people do. Water can be unpredictable, and not just for kids. Water often doesn't obey the rules. Cannot always be contained where it belongs. It seems to evoke some kind of irrational fear in us that we might melt. You must always be cautious around water, not to get in over your head. But despite all those dangers, nobody can live without water. In fact, being on or around water can be both fun and peaceful. We are introduced to the unstable, often unsettling element of water in the second verse of Holy Scripture. On the first day of the Genesis creation narrative, before there was light, there was water. What if the message is that, like Jordan, we need to be introduced to water early on so we might see it not as a threat, but learn to embrace its refreshing and sustaining qualities? Let's take a minute to look beneath the surface of the words of the scripture reading today in order to see a deeper meaning. The version of scripture I read this morning said the Spirit of God was moving over the face of the water. The Hebrew word for moving is an interesting word. It can mean to be moved or affected by feelings of tender love. To capture a picture of this kind of moving, think about how looking on the face of an infant moves the hardest heart with feelings of tender love. This is how the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Some versions of Scripture translate that Hebrew word for moving as brooding. The Spirit of God was brooding over the surfaces of the water. The ancient rabbis added, like a bird, to this Genesis text. Their editorial license can be found in the use of the same word in Scripture to describe how eagles brood over their young, protecting them beneath the wings. The authoritative Hebrew text, the Talmud, even specifies that the Spirit of God hovered over the surface of waters like a dove. Early on in Scripture, we are introduced to water, and we are told that from the beginning, before there was light, the Spirit of God could be found brooding over the waters, as in all waters, moving with feelings of tender love that washed over all that would be created, held always beneath the sheltering wings of God's love. The theology of being baptized with water might well come from here. When the waters of baptism were poured over each of us, as they will be poured over Leon this morning, the water was a visible reminder of our one source of being, God, our Creator, and that the Spirit of God continues to move and brood over us in the waters of baptism, even as they are poured over us. Maybe this early introduction is to help us get over any fear of water that might develop. Why fear the waters that beckon the very Spirit of God to hover over us in tender love and protection? The prophet Isaiah wrote, "When you pass through the waters, God will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not overflow you." And we can sing with the psalmist, as we have done many times, "God leads me beside the still waters." Sometimes waters flow like foreboding boundaries across our paths. And like the Old Testament patriarch Jacob, we wrestle with fears about what lies on the other side. Let the waters of your baptism flood you with the perseverance of soul that is needed to seek and obtain the blessing of God, which will provide safe passage over those troubled waters. Why fear the water that flows with a hovering blessing of God over your life? The waters of baptism depict the unceasing and indiscriminate flow of God's mercy and grace. It might make you wonder why something, such high attributes of God's mercy and grace, would ever be likened to water. But it seems to be a perfect reflection. Water is precious and vitally necessary for life to be sustained. It flows to and pools in the lowest places. What a description of God's mercy and grace. They reach us when we are at our lowest places in our lives. Why fear the water in which flows the mercy and grace that will sustain our soul? Again, it is the psalmist who sings of God's sustaining provision of water when life drains our strength and our hope. Our lives wind through lonesome valleys, and we come upon brooks, discover cool springs and pools brimming with rain. The ever-flowing waters of our baptism may sometimes dive beneath the surface, only to reemerge to renew and sustain our strength and our hope just when we need it most. Jesus goes so far as to offer us living water, saying, "Whoever drinks of the water I give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall become to him a well of water springing up to eternal life." So shall the waters of our baptism spring up within us as a constant and eternal source of sustenance for our very souls. Let us plead with the Samaritan woman at the well, "Give us this water." We don't always know what to expect from water. Sometimes it threatens to overwhelm us. Other times it offers us much needed refreshment and sustains our journey. Sometimes it impedes our path, and sometimes it carries us toward our destination. Once released from the source, The waters of our baptism find their own course, like a meandering river, which John O'Donohue says, is surprised at its own unfolding. So it is with our lives, and will certainly be for little Leon's life as well. But we can find the assurance that we need to step into the water, going with its flow, trusting that God's Spirit still hovers with tender love and protection over the waters, all of them in our lives, be they deep, still, rushing, troubled, twisting, or hot. The waters of our baptism call us to trust in God's abiding care and let the rivers of life take us where they will, knowing ours is a journey that rolls ever back toward our one true source, if we but go with the flow. The reality is, your whole life is a splash zone. The water will find you. It will find you on all of your lonely paths, at the lowest point of your journey, splashing you with the fountains of refreshment of God's sustaining blessings. The promise of God is that you will not be overwhelmed. You don't have to be afraid. These are the waters of your baptism, all of them. And here you are sheltered beneath the brooding wings of God's tender love, mercy, and grace, now and forever. Amen.